Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. We used to get the Pittsburgh Press. I always enjoyed the comic section, especially Peanuts. And one of my favorite characters was Snoopy. Remember Snoopy? And I loved the parts when he'd be on top of his little doghouse and typing, because he always wanted to write the great American novel. And he started typing, and he started writing, "It was a dark and stormy night." And suddenly, kind of a cliche, okay, maybe cliche, but unfortunately, I think a lot of us have experienced the dark and stormy nights this spring and summer. You know, like last Monday, I was talking to my sister on the phone, and boom, went out, and I looked outside, and the trees were bending, and all of a sudden, we heard boom, and my sister-in-law's house was hit by a tree that fell down, and the next house had a tree fell down, and we had no electricity, and then we thought, well, you know, maybe an hour, 2 hours, but we have Duquesne Light, so we didn't have electricity until 6 o'clock the next morning, but other people had it much worse. I hope none of you had any storm damage or you got through this. Our church didn't have electricity till what time last night?
Sometime in the afternoon on Saturday.
Yeah, because Eileen was here with Charlie, 9:30. No, I got here at 10:30. No light. I said, gee, we might have to do this a cappella today. But thank God that the light came back. We've got to pray for our brothers and sisters that weren't so lucky. And some people were even killed by these storms. In our gospel lesson, it was also a dark and stormy night. Evening had come, and Jesus and his disciples were on their way across the Sea of Galilee, and the storm rose and the waves came. You see, the Sea of Galilee is pretty small. It's only like 14 miles from north to south, and only like 8 miles wide, and it's over 600 feet below sea level with hills around it. So when the wind hits, it can churn up really fast. Joan and I, my wife and I, were in Israel in 1986, and we were on a boat going across the Sea of Galilee, and the water was really calm. 20 minutes into our boat ride, all of a sudden, the white caps start coming up, and luckily we got to our destination, but it could happen just like that. St. Mark tells us such a worse storm happened, blew up with Jesus and his disciples as they crossed the Sea of Galilee. And it looked as if they were goners. Water was coming into the boat, it was being swamped, and in the midst of all this, what's Jesus doing? He's sleeping like a little baby, calm, at peace, on a cushion. They said, "Master, don't you care?" And he gets up and he says, "Peace, be still." And the water was like glass. The wind stopped. And he says, I imagine him saying, "Oy vey, how long have I been with you? You know, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And his disciples were filled with great awe. They said, "Wow, what is this? This guy, even the winds and the wave obey him." A theologian named Alan Richardson wrote a book called The Miracle Stories in the Gospel. And he writes about the passage we had today in our gospel reading. And he said, "If we wish to understand the meaning of this sea miracle, we must remember the Old Testament metaphor of the sea, which always remained a sphere of danger and mystery and terror to the Hebrew mind. The restless sea is treated as the symbol of the troubles of the sinful world." You see, the Hebrews were landlocked. They weren't seafarers, and the sea was very mysterious and could be very dangerous to them. And it was a sense of evil and chaos with the sea. That's why even in the beginning of the whole Bible in Genesis, you know, there was like unformless and void, and the sea and the Spirit moved over the waters. And Jesus' authority over evil too is seen in this story. The song that we just sang talks about how God brought the people to their home base and they were free where they had their desired haven. You know, you and I, And you know this, we have our storms in our lives. The telephone call in the middle of the night, going to the doctor, and you thought you had kidney stones. He said, no, you have cancer. The accident, the storms that come up and change your life for a while. Now, what's St. Mark trying to tell us? Is he trying to tell us that, well, you know, you look to Jesus and your problems are over? You look to Jesus and he's like a nice little pill that takes away your pain? Yet, if that were true, why would Jesus say, to follow me, take up your cross and follow me? If that were true, why did Jesus have to go to the cross and suffer? No, the clue to what this miracle story is about is Jesus' question, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? The key is not to look at the storms, which can be overwhelming. Not only the weather, but the storms in society, wars. You know, at this day, 800 people in America will die because they're poor. I mean, these things are going on. And we look at it and we say, what can we do to help? And it looks overwhelming. And we need hope to look to our Lord Jesus Christ. Even at times when he seems to be asleep, you're baptized. He's with you. He's in you. So the question is, why are you afraid? I mean, why am I afraid? When I heard that storm coming up, and you get tightness in your stomach, and your hands, your palms get sweaty, and your throat gets dry, and your heart starts beating. Why? I mean, physiologically, the doctors can tell you why. I mean, you know, because your pulse goes up and your heart beats faster, and it's fight or flight in your hypothalamus, and you know, you get ready. But that explanation doesn't take away, at least doesn't take away my fears. And there are fears. We all have. Some people are afraid of heights. Some people are afraid of closed-in areas. Some people are afraid of spiders. Some people are afraid of snakes. Some people are afraid of airplanes. Some people are afraid of getting up and talking before people. You're probably afraid the sermon's going to go on and on and on and on. You know, there's fear. We have fear. Yet today in the gospel lesson points to where our fears are ultimately calmed. In the Word, promise of God in Jesus Christ. Now, I remember I went 1988 to my first spiritual direction in my retreat. It was at the Cenacle on Fifth Avenue, and Sister Judith was my confessor, really. And she gave me some Bible verses that I keep in a book that helped me. Like, for example, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Or the 23rd Psalm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Or Isaiah 43, 1 to 3. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not cover you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And from St. Luke, chapter 12, verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. Remind me too, remember when there was another storm at sea and Jesus was walking on the water and Peter wanted to walk on the water and Jesus said, come on. And he kept his eyes on Jesus. He walked on the water. But he took his eyes off Jesus. He saw the storm and he was afraid. His, quote, common sense kicked in and he started to sink. Snoopy started typing. It was a dark and stormy night. Yes, we know that in the world we live in. And there are some to come, and some will be pretty scary, and some will be pretty devastating and overwhelming. Yet the answer is found in Jesus Christ. Our black brothers and sisters, they say, keep your eyes on the prize. Don't limit him to some gentle man who in the first century said love, love, love. Yeah, Jesus is that, but he's more. Don't listen to limit him to what a friend we have in Jesus. He is our friend, but he's more. He is the Lord. God raised him from the dead. He is the Son of God, and he lives. He lives for me, and he lives for you. And as our knowledge and vision and heart grow in understanding Jesus in this Pentecost season, who he is, so does our faith. And we will learn to walk with Christ through the power of the Spirit more and more every day in every way. Because even the wind and waves obey him. Wow. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.